Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Volunteer Spotlight. The last episode, we had Kevin Martindale, who is the Volunteer of the Month for August, I believe. And this month, we've got a pretty special episode because the Volunteer of the Month for September is Philip Bradbury. And the name Bradbury may sound familiar to some of you longtime volunteers because, well, Cat Bradbury. And let's just say there's a nice little story behind that, which we will be sure to get to in this episode. So, Philip, welcome to the Volunteer Spotlight, and it's good to have you here.
Thank you, and it's always great to be here and be able to support AfterSight. It's been a long journey, I'll tell you that.
It really has, but you've been very involved. You've been at the hikes, the holiday parties, the
ice cream socials.
Yeah, the ice cream socials, the volunteer open houses. I mean, you've been a staple at the events, you know, and definitely has not gone unnoticed. And you currently are reader of, and have always been a reader of, now the Mile High Sports magazine, what just used to be known as Sports, but I think this is a better name because I feel like Sports, you know, define the show is a little too general though. And we want people to listen. Your ability to recite things about different sports players from, you know, many different sports, and your ability to talk about just different sports with a very, you know, your knowledge base in addition to the content has definitely made you a very good fit for that show. And we do really appreciate the detailed reports and stuff that you send us each week. It has definitely not gone unnoticed. So yeah, congratulations again. And first of all, though, before we get into any of that stuff, I always love to start these episodes with some kind of fun getting to know you questions, just to add a little spice to the show. So what is your favorite cure for boredom? Like your, I could say favorite hobby of all.
When I'm bored, I play Chess Titans. It came out on Microsoft many moons ago. And, I'll play like Blitzkrieg chess with the computer, and I'm only winning a little over half of the games right now, but that's all right. I'm learning a lot, and I do a lot of reading and just try to keep up on things that are going on around the world. It's some very challenging times, especially in the nonprofit sector.
Yes, it very much is. We're definitely in a very unique time in history. I feel like it will go down in the history books. I'm curious what historians will refer to this period of time as. So you're a chess guy.
Yes, that's just one of the things I do. And I do a little gardening, and I'm an avid bird watcher as well.
A bird watcher. And I'd also heard you were, at one point in time, you kept bees. Do you still do that?
No, I don't do that any longer. It got really depressing because the colonies would really struggle. And there's a lot of people in Boulder County that they all want to save the bees. So we have a lot of bees, but I don't think there is the forage that is necessary. And finding good forage is really difficult. So I've kind of given up for now. However, I do plan on starting it up again. And, part of that would be in honor of Cat, of course.
Well, absolutely. Talking of that, what year did you start actually volunteering?
I think it was 2016. I'm just trying to think back. I think it was 2016, and I had recently retired, and I was bored in retirement. Had a little ranchette at the time, and that did keep me busy, but not enough. And so I was reading the Boulder Camera when I got it in print form, and I'm flipping through the pages, and there's a quarter page ad that is for all the nonprofits in Boulder County, and they rotate through that quarter page ad that's donated by the Boulder Camera. So I saw the ad for what was then called Audio Information Network of Colorado. And I thought to myself, well, I can read, and I've done radio before, so I can do this. So I went in for the audition, and I met Kat, and I passed the audition.
Nice.
And then she gave me a few assignments to do. So after all of that, I was hanging around in her office because she totally fascinated me. She bristled when I would call her this, but she was a smart cookie. At any rate, I just hung around asking stupid questions, and then I would come in once a week and I'd chat with Kat, and then I'd do my recording. She was always kind of stressed because she wore a lot of hats.
Yes, she did.
When it was AINC. And so she'd be all stressed out, and I would invite her to my house because I had all this open space, and then there was a commanding view of Long's Peak and Mount Meeker. And she would hang out, and then we'd have dinner, and she'd go home. And then after a while, I said, you know, this, she was living behind the Cannon coffee shop. And that was fine because they used to close at 2 o'clock, but then they got a liquor license and they'd have an open mic night. And she just wasn't getting any peace.
Yeah.
So I said, well, you know, this is crazy. I have half of a house that you can have. You can have 2 bedrooms and the bath or all of your stuff. And she was a girly girl. A lot of makeup and hair products.
She likes seashells too, I think.
She moved in, and then I courted her for a year. And then I asked her to marry me, which we did, and we hand fasted underneath the willow tree. So that's all very pagan because she was a third degree pagan priestess, believe it or not.
Yeah.
There was so much magic going on. One day she said that she could conjure up the rain. So we went into my little shop. We made a couple of rain sticks and we went out there and she chanted a few things. And about 10 minutes later, it started raining. And it wasn't like just, you know, a few droplets. It was rain. And I was totally impressed. She was just totally magic. And, you know, jokingly, I would say, you know, I have to watch my P's and Q's because I wouldn't want her to turn me into a frog. So that's how it started. And then we sold the ranch and we moved into a place in Lafayette. And I was still reading and doing it in the studio. And then I started doing it from home. We set up a little home studio. And then sadly, she passed away. So this is like the third year that she's been gone. I miss her terribly. And then I moved to a small little place. And in the second bedroom, I set up a small recording studio. And through your help, Evan, we tweaked the sound so it comes through clear and crisp. And I'm hoping that there's a lot of sport fans out there that appreciate our transition from up to the minute sports to sports in the Denver/Colorado region. And so I'm excited to read from the magazine, even though things are a little behind because it only comes out quarterly now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bios, interesting bios on people that you never thought you'd even hear about. And so that's just a piece of diving into Colorado sports history. And then I read from the Mile High Sports website, which has literally up to the minute postings from their writers. So I would read something that would come out, say, 20 minutes ago, and I would note that to the listeners and saying, well, this came out 20 minutes ago and it's currently 2:10 in the afternoon on Monday. So that podcast goes up around 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's pretty much up to the minute. And of course, now that the football Broncos season is underway, there's always something to talk about.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, we have Nuggets coming up and the Avalanche are going to start up again. And of course, there's CU football and the Rams. And pretty soon we're going to have a women's soccer team. So I'm very excited about that. They've actually sold out the first season and they haven't even played and don't even have a stadium yet. So contributing to AfterSight is, it brings me great joy And I bred a lot of things in the beginning when there was kind of a struggle to get volunteers or they would be sick. I would chip in. I read like the Arvada newspaper and the Thornton newspaper, and those are long. Mm-hmm. And the military news and, of course, sports and a couple of PSAs. It's been quite a journey, and I'm really proud and honored to be a part of the AfterSight team.
Well, and we're glad to have you as a part of the AfterSight team. It means a lot to us, too. And I do really appreciate, Jennifer and I were just talking about this, the amount of detail and personality that you put into just writing to us each week. And I just feel like, you know, it, you know, we stay connected pretty well. And yes, as of July, and I don't want to, you know, scratch too much salt onto this, you know, wound, but yes, it has been 3 years, and really appreciate you sharing that entire story about how you and Kat got together, because I've personally myself been very curious. And I've got to say, in response to that, Kat definitely did strike me as somebody I had to mind my P's and Q's around. Just, she's very, you know, she definitely had that very, very stern demeanor about her. But I also felt like she, despite that, was very approachable. And I used to just sit in her office and give and tell her all my young person problems. And she'd just talk about it with me. And it was very meaningful. And Alex has, our previous, our former senior programming manager, has a lot of Kat stories. And the other thing too is, like, you know, if one of us was sick or what have you, I, you know, we could just go to Kat and she'd have some little remedy or something that we could take or do. And, you know, I just, it always felt like, you know, she had great health advice. And I actually, yeah, I didn't realize she was a third degree
pagan priestess.
Ah.
And she was a registered nurse. She worked in criminal psych at a psych hospital in California. And so she was kind of like Nurse Ratched, you know. She would give someone that was acting bizarre, you know,
totally,
just give them the look and they would, you know, slink away. And but it was a pretty traumatic environment for her to work in, because you were always, you know, watching your back.
Yeah.
And then when she moved to Colorado in a snowstorm, because she wanted to be closer to her sister and her daughter, Phaedra, who now lives in southern Colorado. And then our dream before she passed away, we'd been looking at houses in Hawaii. And believe it or not, on the Big Island, property is really, really inexpensive compared to
everywhere else.
Colorado right now. Yeah, especially. Exactly. And I still get stuff from that. So when I went over there to scatter her ashes, you know, I came back and I had seen the perfect house, and it was just a shame that she wasn't around, because we would have bought that in a heartbeat. Had a commanding view of the ocean from where it was. It was pretty big. And it's just a dream that I'm keeping in my hip pocket.
Yeah, and just hold on to it. That's definitely...
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It could be in the offings in the next couple of years. And the great thing about AfterSight is that you can record from anywhere.
That is true.
So so that's pretty exciting.
Yes, that is the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Now, I always say we've got people that have recorded from South Africa and that send us audio.
Really?
Like usually earlier, if not almost always on time. They haven't been volunteering for a little while now, but that does, regarding her being a psych nurse, and just being in nursing, that I guess that explains the whole nurturing and caring ability, and, you know, the whole like, oh, you're not feeling well. Well, I have something to help you out. And I have an incredibly massive amount of respect for anybody that's a psych nurse, just because it's a very hot, fast-paced, high-stress field. And kind of speaking of the high-stress, yes, Kat really did do, like, the work of three people. I mean, she not only managed all the volunteers, but also all of the programs and publications, the audio, and even parts of the broadcast. Like, yeah, she was doing a lot and always working, it felt like. But
Well, when she, when we all, when COVID hit,
yeah,
and nobody could be in the office or record live, like this, that's how we started with the home studios.
It really is.
She was happy as a clam at high tide because she didn't have to go into the office anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She could run her little empire from home through the computers and the telephone. She had an office in at the ranch there. And we put up billboards and we had all the programming up on the walls and all that kind of stuff. And she was juggling people all the time and getting readers to, you know, to finish their projects and all that. Oh, yeah, it was great. And speaking of the alternative energies, and this is one of the things that impressed me about Kat, because she and I were on the same wavelength as far as alternative medicines go.
Yeah, and definitely.
And you can be a testament to that, because she was able to cure people with just a few little essential oils and some other potions, and it worked every time.
Yeah.
Didn't have to depend on modern medicine and that kind of thing. You know, I've been around the block a few times, and she was the most complete relationship that I ever had. It was truly love, and we were one with each other, and it was great.
It was evident from looking at you guys both, you know, that dynamic. It was always, I was kind of found it funny too, because you always used to scare Alex and I when you'd sneak up to the control room and you'd be like, "Hello, children."
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I must say, if I may offer a testament to her medication or her medicine, I used to suffer from, I still have, you know, occasional anxiety a little bit, but I used to have it really bad. And she's since, both through, you know, certain, I still have the thing of them. They're like these tablets. And also just talking to her, like she's been able to help me get a handle on it and kind of just work with and cope with anxiety a lot more. And since then, I feel like it's helped me become a better person. So I cannot appreciate that enough. I was going to ask, like, the whole transition from, you know, everybody all being in person to recording remote and COVID and stuff, because it was a huge, very tough time for everybody. And for us, I mean, we lost like 60% or something of our reader base. And, you know, having people being able to record from home and then, you know, having other people like yourself, you know, pitch in and substitute shows definitely helped a ton. So honestly, let's kind of circle back though to when you started volunteering for AfterSight. And this is a question I always like to ask people, just due to the chronological style of the way I like to work through people's stories here. But what was it like for you when you first, you know, when you first begun reading for AfterSight?
Well, when I first started, you know, the reading part is easy, but the challenge was describing the photographs and what was in the photographs. How do you describe a person? You know, where do you start? And especially with the Mile High Sports magazine, when I record, I pause and then I will look over the ad or the photograph of someone, and I will basically go through how I'm going to describe it before I actually record it. And that's really helped a lot. And then there was a little training class that you guys did on describing photographs and advertisements. And so I have a much easier time doing the pictures and the ads now. In the magazine, some of the same ads pop up, you know, in every new issue. So I'm getting better at being able to describe them. I can add a little more detail. That whole training and everything has really worked out a lot. I'm hoping that there's some feedback from the listeners as to, you know, maybe the description of people and ads and that kind of thing is making an impact. So I'm hoping that you guys get some positive feedback. And even if it's, you know, not so positive, that there's always room for improvement.
Oh, of course. No. And in fact, we will be seeking and are continuing to seek feedback, mostly through our dedicated programming advisory committee. We're going to have them look over some examples of image description and some ads and stuff. We definitely will give any volunteers, including you, feedback, if any, you know, positive or negative, because it is an aspect of reading that we want to really continue to expand on. And especially with newspapers kind of shrinking and going into, I don't know, like
digital format. Yeah.
Right. Or also sometimes even recording and or releasing on like a quarterly basis and stuff. You know, it's more vital than ever, especially nowadays, to really equally represent the content as it was written so that listeners have the same equal opportunities as everybody else that can read the papers. And yeah, it's definitely it's work in progress.
Well, yep. And AfterSight is a window to the world. And so getting it right is really important because that informs people of decisions that they have to make.
I like your wording a lot, actually. And I almost want that. That's good marketing material right there. A window to the world. That's why don't we think of that? Because we brand as the community hub and I like that, but that's a really good way to market. I better remember that, right? I also got to say, I completely forgot, you know, I'd always seen you as the sports guy, but I forgot you had also done reading of the Arvada Report and the Thornton Voice. In fact, I'd seen, you know, when I would peruse the archives, you know, I'd seen some old readings that you'd done and I'm like, oh, that's Philip. But it sounded different because you were in the studio. On the topic of the studio space, let's kind of talk a little bit about your recording setup because we have, you and I have worked together on, you know, perfecting it and making it sound as good as it possibly can. And it sounds great now. And
well, it was a transition. I was using these Helix gaming headsets with a built-in microphone and it sounded okay, but it wasn't really good quality.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was unpacking stuff, I came across this microphone and boom setup that Kat had bought. And I thought, oh, well, maybe I could either sell it or donate it to AfterSight. And Kat was, she shopped Amazon all the time. That's how things got done. Especially when she could order groceries and just about anything right from her computer and stuff would show up. You know, once I'd come home from work, there'd be like 3 bags of groceries out on the front porch.
Mm-hmm.
And so it turns out that the microphone setup that she had purchased was rather inexpensive. And once again, it came from Amazon. And after you and I had talked about ditching the Helix gaming headset, I set that up and it sounds great. So my little setup, I just have a couple of a few poles that are kind of crammed into the ceiling, you know, to hold everything upright. And I've got these little curtains that surround everything. So there's sound baffles against the wall.
Uh-huh.
And I have a small laptop. And with that laptop, I can reduce to half page the Mile High Sports magazine. And then on the other side, I've got Audacity, which is how we record things. And have Audacity in a smaller window, and I can enlarge, and it's much easier actually, because I can rock and roll through stuff, and with Audacity, you know, you have the ability to pause in the middle of your recording and not lose your place, and you know, and then I try to go through the ads and figure out how I'm going to describe them, and then you know, and then I carry on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basic. It's a very basic setup. However, one of the things about Audacity is that the sound is crisp and clear.
Yes.
So, I just have to make the time so I can sit down and play with Audacity a little more to see how I can cut and paste in case I screw up and how I can go back and, overwrite, what I've read and that kind of thing. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I, you know, it's just a very small setup and really anybody can, you know, can do this setup. If you have a computer and you can afford, say, like $40 for this microphone setup, you are good to go.
Yep.
Yeah. So I look forward to, you know, doing more and taking on more reading assignments through AfterSight
mm-hmm.
because it's always a joy and I get to do something new. You know, you guys will have an assignment like...
Mainliner.
Yes, exactly. Mainliner. And I read a bunch of those pages and that didn't take long. And you learn something new, especially this is, that magazine is, concerning the Roaring Fork Valley up there, you know, from Glenwood to Aspen and all the little towns in between, like El Jebel and Basalt and all that.
Mm.
There's a lot going on up there in the Roaring Fork Valley. So it's always, you know, good to see what's going on in Colorado. And so here's kind of an idea. I don't know if there's a travel program, but highlighting different parts of Colorado would be a great little program. And speaking of which, if I can take it a step further.
Of course.
Next month, I, with my church group, we are going to visit Sand Creek and Camp Amache. Sand Creek, of course, was the Sand Creek Massacre that took place in November of 1864, and Camp Amache was the Japanese internment camp during World War II. So I'm excited to go down there, and I am hoping that I can take some photographs that I can relay to everybody and do a little narrative on my experience down there. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah. And then other spots in Colorado that I have on my bucket list, like going to Dinosaur National Monument, things like that, to, you know, it's like a travelogue.
That's, yeah, it's fun. It's like, yeah, it's the modern day scrapbook, basically.
Exactly.
But, and you've had a knack for taking photos. You've sent us plenty. In fact, you've given a bunch of photos on a thumb drive and,
yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Even if you're blind, I like taking photos too. To answer a couple of your questions and kind of address a couple things. We did used to actually have a travel program called Regional Travel, but it was kind of it was based around Colorado, but we ended up discontinuing it just because I don't think the naming was super solid, and I don't feel like people knew to look for regional travel, so it wasn't getting a lot of hits, and we needed we reassigned that the reader of that show to a couple of different shows now. And it is something, though, that I will keep in the woodwork because, you know, like I said earlier, as newspapers are starting to, they're just, things are changing with the news. And, you know, and I'd venture to say a lot of people, there's a percentage of people out there that are kind of burnt out on the news. And so we are looking a lot more hyper-local Colorado-related shows. And I think what you were thinking of, though, actually, that was based out of, you know, Roaring Fork, was actually the Mountain Pearl magazine.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
No, that's okay. The Mainliner is more about the Lions Clubs of Colorado. Oh, but
yes, I read some of that too.
No, you actually read several. In fact, I gotta say, all of the subbing or all of these shows that require multiple readers that we've put out, I feel like you've at least taken one reading out of pretty much every offering that we put out. So,
oh yeah,
that's awesome.
I like to be engaged and I like to do different stuff. And going back to your comment about the newspapers, they are so homogenized now because especially the Boulder Camera, a lot of it is just news that they pick up off the news wires, you know, yep. Reuters and AP and all that. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And there's hardly any local stuff anymore. So I think that would be something important to try and start up again.
Well, thank you. I will note that for sure. And well, I'm sure Jennifer and I will talk about it. And yeah, as you said, a lot of newspapers are, yeah, they're being picked up by larger companies and hedge funds that are kind of buying these papers out and making them basically part of, they're all kind of the same. It's just recirculating the same news, but in very, very ever so slightly different ways nowadays.
Well, there's an interesting glitch or loophole because I subscribe to the Boulder Camera.
Right.
And so I just get the electronic edition. However, the same corporation that owns the Boulder Camera also owns several other newspapers. And believe it or not, you can access those By just going to their link, and you can log right in without the paywall, because basically you've already paid for it. So going back to the trip to Sand Creek, I think what I'll do is I'll make a little recording, and I'll let you guys figure out that if it's something you want to post, and see what the response is, and maybe we can continue it from there. So it'll be a little experiment, and you guys can edit out whatever and, you know, make it a half an hour, which would be a lot.
Oh, it would be. But it does sound like a fun idea, and it sounds like it could be a very entertaining and informal show for, or informational show for anybody, especially in Colorado. And actually, circling back even further to prior to volunteering, I'd like to highlight the stuff that you have done on radio, because we briefly mentioned it at the beginning, and you and I were talking about it before we hopped into the studio here, but you were actually one of the Kuva volunteers that I had heard of, because there are a few.
Oh, in the very beginning, I was there. Let's see, the station went on the air in August, 40 years ago, believe it or not.
Wow.
And I was working at UPS at the time, and some people told me about it. Oh, they play the blues, because I came from Chicago, and I have an affinity for Chicago blues and any other kind of blues.
Oh, nice.
And so they said they were looking for volunteers. So I went down there, and you'll get a kick out of this. The recording studio, it was so primitive that they had egg cartons staple gunned to the walls to act as sound baffles. And I went in for my audition, and the program director at the time, Mercedes Hernandez was her name, and she gave me all these records, as long before CDs.
Oh, yeah.
She gave me all these records, and they were in Spanish, and she just looked me straight in the eye, and she says, it's a good thing that you got that last one right, because if you didn't, you were out of here. So I started, you know, at KUVO, and I did the community calendar for a while, and then I had my own radio program, and that went on for 11 years. This is long before Carlos Lando showed up. Once again, I was kind of bored, and I went down to help out in the studio, and Ken Hamlin was a talk show host, and he picked up a slot on KUVO. And he was getting frustrated with the board operator there. So I didn't live too far away. So I went down there. And this was the day that the Valdez oil spill took place. And they only had one telephone that had an outside line, because it was a lot of volunteers. People would come in and they'd jump on the phone and call family down in Mexico, for example. And so they had to put locks on the phone
They didn't take advantage of your long distance.
Exactly. Squash all that.
Yeah.
So I decided, you know, everyone's talking about how terrible it was and blah, blah, blah. So I called Valdez, Alaska. I called the city hall, and the switchboard operator that answered said, oh yeah, the mayor's at his house. Would you like his number?
Well,
you bet. And so I called the mayor, and here he is sitting in the kitchen. And we're talking about the oil spill and how he's going to handle it and how it's going to affect the community and all that. Ken Hamlin and I, we were the first persons in the world to contact anybody up there in Valdez, Alaska. And that kind of put my bee in Ken's bonnet. And he and I partnered up, and I was producing his show on a regular basis. And then we moved over to KBX 710 AM, and we were there with the triumvirate of talk show host at the time, Peter Boyles, Gary Tesler, and it was a good experience, very intense, because I had to come up with a new guest every 20 minutes for 3 hours, 5 days a week, and so I was working on up-to-date stuff, and you'd have to, you know, cajole people to come in and talk on the radio or even by telephone. We did a few book reviews, and I had to put together Club KBX once a week on a Friday. And we had sponsor was Argonaut Liquors. So I'd go up there and they would give us complimentary bottles of wine. I'd call up the restaurant and somebody would come in, and we had a huge, huge studio. So they would bring in some of their little chafing dishes and warming trays and all that kind of stuff. And we'd have a band, and we would bring in some of the talking heads of the day and the writers in the Post. And then it was the Rocky Mountain News as well. And we talk about happenings that were going on in Denver, you know, the kind of like the man about town
mm-hmm.
column. And yeah, it was pretty intense. So I did that for a couple of years and I got kind of burned out. And so that was the end of that. But yeah, that's how one of my many adventures in radio. And I kind of miss it because radio is really the best medium. And especially for, you know, folks that don't have vision or low vision, it's a godsend because you can imagine things in your head. You can picture things that are going on, you know, when...
Very much.
I listen. I don't watch sports that much. I listen to it on the radio. So in my head, I can picture things like, oh, the Broncos are moving from left to right and they're at the, you know, left hash mark and off they go. And you can just see that whole thing in your head.
Right.
So, yeah, radio is the best medium.
I love that statement. I have a bias and will very much agree with you. And especially because, I mean, even going back to old time radio and like old radio shows, only things that are coming to mind right now are Dragnet and Lights Out and stuff like that.
Oh, what evil lurks in the hearts of men, only the shadow knows.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And Johnny Dollar.
Mm-hmm. And see, that was all immersive. And it was literally just coming through a little wooden box on your table. There was no pictures. There was no 4K or immersive video or VR or anything. It was they all managed to make it an entire immersive experience in mono, by the way. And yeah, it was a beautiful, it's an art. Radio is a good form of art. And I feel like people like us are going to keep it alive. And the other thing about it too is, we're not even going to touch on any internet radio or whatever, is just the fact that it's analog. You turn on a switch on a box and you get audio through it and you can just sit. And I can still sometimes, even if it's commercials, I find it fun to kind of browse the FM AM radio at like, you know, 1 a.m. if I can't sleep, because it's...
Oh, it's very entertaining.
It's more fun.
Especially if you tune in an AM station that's far away, you know, and I have a...
Do you have a shortwave?
Yep, I have a shortwave set, and every now and then it's one of those wind-up radios in case, you know, there's zero power and no batteries available in some disaster. Yep, so I tune into that, and I have a friend that I met through the Beatles many, many, many years ago, probably about 40 years ago now, and this is down in New Zealand.
Wow.
And there's like an 18-hour time difference, so... On Saturday night for us, from 9 to midnight, I tune in to eastfm.nz, which is Sunday afternoon from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock. It's the next day for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Turner plays old rock and roll, like from the 50s up to about 1960, 61. He does that for an hour and a half, and then he'll play old country for the next hour and a half. And it is great, great stuff. And then I'll ring him up. So here I am, you know, at my house listening to him calling New Zealand when it's the next day. And so, but that's all through the internet, but still it's radio. And then going back even further, when I was a little kid, speaking of the magic of radio, there was a little science kit where you could build your own crystal set.
Yep.
And of course, you could only get the really strong stations. I was living in Southern California at the time, so I would get KRLA, which was the big rock and roll station, and then KFI, which is where I'd listen to the Dodger games with Vin Scully describing everything, speaking of somebody who could, you know, you'd hit a fly ball to deep center field, and he would almost make poetry out of that shot. It was great. I learned a lot from him as far as being descriptive as to what people are actually listening to. And so you can, once again, you can hear it in your head. You can see it. You can see the whole thing unfolding.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was, yeah. I hadn't thought about that little crystal set in years, but it was a blast.
It still is. Blast. It sounds like a blast. And it actually sounds like really what the roots of what started, you know, your career and adventures in radio and volunteering and sports and just everything that we've talked about and everything that you do right now. It's, that's really cool. So I'm very glad we brought this up because, I forgot about those little build your own radios too. I haven't seen those in forever.
And the heck yeah, that was probably 60 years ago.
Right.
But I'll bet you, mm-hmm. if you shop around, you know, Amazon,
yeah,
you'll find a little kit to build. And so they are a lot of fun. So anybody out there that feels motivated, you can build your own crystal radio set, and it's a fun thing to do, and you can pick up all kinds of stations.
Actually, believe it or not, I was actually visiting family in Nebraska, and I went to Menards, and I found one there. So
really,
you never know where you can find one of those, but they're, you know, it might be a little more technical, but they are fun, and it's a cool little hobby project. Now I've got to ask, actually, speaking of hobbies here, and you know, radio, have you ever dabbled in like amateur radio or
stuff like that? Well, when I was in high school, I was going to high school on Mercer Island. It's outside of Seattle, and we had a little
a ham shack, really.
It was a little radio station in the lunchroom.
Wow, that's
cool. And we all rotated, and I had a Thursday afternoon shift that only lasted like an hour, and I, you know, play the records of the day, Beatles and Beach Boys and that kind of thing, and and that was actually how I started in radio, because I really caught the bug of being in studio. So then when I started at KUVO, we had records. CDs hadn't even been invented yet.
Oh no.
And we were doing tape splicing. I mean, there wasn't any digital. You had to cut and splice all the stuff that you were doing, like when I did Community Calendar.
Yeah.
Or one of the other
8-inch reels, like they almost look like film projectors.
Yes, exactly. Oh yeah, they were huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those machines are beasts too. I've got one somewhere. And
they run on tubes.
Yep. Well, the good ones run on tubes. The new ones are all transistor. Well, there's nothing wrong with transistor, but the newer
sound quality is different. It's not as, it's much warmer with a tube set.
I agree. Much more rich sounding, and it just captures a lot more of the body of the sound.
Right. You know, musicians of today, they want to go back to analog because, for starters, it kind of hides some of their mistakes, and once again, it produces a warmer sound. So, yeah. Radio is the medium.
And this is not an opinion show, but it would be interesting to see if, continuing on that trend, if people start to maybe shy a little bit more away from the pitch correction and auto-tune stuff that we hear a lot of in pop music. And yeah, you can still go to Guitar Center or anywhere and buy tube amps and replacement tubes, because they have a better sound to them, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to see that people, even things like records and cassette tapes are making a comeback. Now, I will laugh though if the 8-track tape makes a reappearance though, because I don't think, I feel like those weren't the most popular. I like them because they sound cool and they feel cool, but I've heard so many horror stories about 8-track tapes.
I had an Oldsmobile.
Nice.
And 8-track was a factory installed device. And the guy that I bought it from, he was a big golfer. The Oldsmobile Cutlass Brougham is a huge car, and the trunk's even bigger. Mm-hmm. He would take his buddies golfing, and they could put all their clubs in the trunk of his car. So I opened the trunk, and there was a box of Johnny Cash 8-tracks.
Oh, yeah.
And the car itself had wide whale corduroy interior. That was all the seats. And I was working for the city of Denver at the time, and I had to train a few guys, so we'd all pile into my car, and we'd throw in a Johnny Cash 8-track, and off we'd go to these job sites. It was a blast.
That is a blast. And Johnny Cash is great driving music. I just got to say.
Oh, yeah.
It's, I mean, it's great music either way, but especially when you're on the road.
Yeah, when you're on the road, you betcha.
It's perfect. I think too, I like when we're on the road, especially if I'm traveling with family, especially if they got Sirius XM and they like to, we'll crank on BB King's Bluesville. That's a good station.
Oh yeah. Yes, I heard of that.
It's my favorite blues station. Cause I like me some blues too, and some old bluegrass and old country. Cause I just, it sounds country, but wow,
you would enjoy Robert's show for sure.
Oh, I'm sure. Now, we've been going for a bit, but before we wrap up this episode, I would like to give you the opportunity, if you have any questions for me, Evan Starnes, as the host, or for Aftersight, or feedback.
The way I just have to honor you for what you do around here, because you know your vision is limited, and you, you know, like you and I fixed my mic problem, and you just rock and roll through stuff. And I honor you for being able to do all that, because, it just seems overwhelming to me. So as you know, so the more chances I have to volunteer with Aftersight, I just love you guys so much and really appreciate all that you do for the community that is dealing with
vision loss,
with problems after they lose their vision.
Yeah, or even some that were born with no or little to no vision, but they've never really been able to branch out, or they were sheltered most of their lives and just don't know how to get information and how to get on their feet and become independent. You know, definitely stuff like that. And your dedication.
Well, that's the mission of Aftersight, is to get those people that feel like their life is hopeless and they're shut in all the time. And so, you know, Aftersight provides that opportunity for everybody to explore worlds that they may not normally get to see. So I'm very honored to be part of Aftersight, and I look forward to continuing in the future.
Absolutely. And helping open people's window to the world, as you say.
Amen to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, thank you for the feedback, and I do appreciate the personal feedback, and I very much, it means a lot, and I wouldn't be able to do what I do here without the team behind me. And I feel like, Aftersight is a very cohesive, well-oiled machine, and it's always meaningful to hear that from other volunteers outside.
Oh, yeah, it's getting there. When after Cap passed away, everybody had to make this big transition, and they had to take on more responsibilities that she had, and it made everything better, you know? You guys moved to this great new place, and you've got great new studios and all that, so it's very exciting.
It very much is. And yes, it was, I mean, emotions and just the sadness of the loss aside, it was a rough transition. But, you know, especially people like Alex really, really stepped in and just knew what to do and knew how to get it done and knew how to really make this machine work like it should. And you know, I feel like we pulled through, and I love this new, I love the new space. I think it's a lot better than Boulder. Trust me.
Yeah, it is. I know the building's pretty new.
Yeah.
And, you guys did a great job in, fixing it up so that we could do recordings like this.
Uh-huh.
And you can, have guests and it's a big open space, and everybody, I think is really happy here. And of course the Taj Mahal Indian restaurant
is dangerous
next door. Yeah.
That place is dangerous.
Yes, it is.
If you like Indian food.
Yes, I do.
I have to restrain myself, especially because you can smell it when you're walking outside of the office and you're like,
all right. Yeah. A little curry goes a long way.
Well, it sure does in so many ways. Well, Philip, thank you so much for everything, especially today, for hopping in front of the mic and just offering all of these stories and bits of tidbits of information and suggestions and your feedback. And your dedication has definitely not gone unnoticed and will not. Congratulations again. You have very much earned the Volunteer of the Month nomination, and I'm excited. We're excited to continue working with you and really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you guys too. And this hour has gone by really quickly. I was kind of surprised, but thank you very much for that honor. And I will continue to carry on and pick up extra assignments. I'm really excited to be a part of AfterSight.
Well, and we're happy to have you. And it has been an hour. You're right. You know, we were talking about that at the beginning, and here we are almost an hour later. Well,
it's been great shooting the breeze with you, Evan.
It always is.
All right.
It always is.
All right. Well, thanks again.
Of course. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the Volunteer Spotlight. If you enjoyed the show, please share it. You can follow it on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Give it, you know, 5 stars and send it to your friends, your puppies, your loved ones, whoever you think might be interested in listening to the show, or hey, becoming a volunteer. It's word of mouth is the most powerful medium for spreading information,
and it's easier than you think.
It really is.
All right, tune in.
Indeed.